Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 14th day, this Friday of March 2025. And tonight, our producer, it's his lucky night, is none other than Chris. Hey, Chris.
Trial by fire.
Yeah. And then right here live in the studio with me, I have the president of Geauga County Right to Life, Aaron Gunnias.
Hello, Pastor.
Hello. And is McKernan called in yet?
Yes.
All righty. And so way out there in Texas, that mighty, mighty man, the famous co-founder of Cops for Christ International, the author of many, many books, and, well, what can I say? The one and only Big John McKernan.
Well, you said enough, Pastor Ernie. Thank you very much, and God bless you and all our listeners, and may we have a great, great show tonight, proclaiming truth.
Let's get her done. All righty. You know what? We have what's in the news right now, the fight to restore traditional marriage, one step closer to the Supreme Court. So now they're trying to get this back in the Supreme Court where we decide that marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, remember that? Marriage is between a man and a woman. But, of course, everybody thinks that the Supreme Court will probably do what they did with Roe v. Wade and turn that back to the states. But here's the problem. The problem is, you see, there's only one Supreme Court, and that's not Washington, D.C. That Supreme Court is the one you find in Genesis chapter 9, the Supreme Court of the universe. Okay, and so here, they've already ruled. They've ruled on this whole marriage thing, you know, way, way back, a long, long time ago. Okay, and so here, I wanted to start tonight and just read you a few verses from the Word of God. And he refers to this thing called marriage. And we start in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him." Genesis 2:24. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cling unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, let me ask you this, John, because you're a smart guy. You've known a lot of mothers in your time, and you have your own wife, right? What gender were all of the mothers that you knew, and what gender is your wife?
Well, Pastor Ernie, every single one of them were females.
I knew that. I just knew it. Okay, now, let me read you this. You see, that this is what that the actual Supreme Court has ruled. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made at the beginning made them male and female? Male and female. Now, he's talking about here, about the institution, which was the very first divine institution that the real Supreme Court gave man. And that's the institution of marriage. That's the very first divine institution, marriage and the family, right? And here is what it says. And he answered and said unto them, this is in Matthew 19:46, when the Pharisees were asking him about marriage. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? At the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man have father, shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cling to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, that means two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Okay? So again, he's referring to both in mother and father. Father was a male, mother is a female. This has been for over 6,000 years, okay? This has been the actual law. The actual law. That group in Washington, D.C., sometimes there's things that they probably shouldn't rule on because they're not capable, right? What they have ruled, that is same-sex marriage, God had already ruled on that. What did God call it, John?
Well, the same-sex marriage is sin, Pastor, and it's an abomination.
Well, true, but it's called fornication.
It's illegitimate marriage.
Yes.
It's right. Not real. Yes. It's not legitimate marriage.
Right. Marriage can only be between a man and a woman. Now, God gave us the institution, and when in doing so, he gave us the definition of marriage. So that Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. erred. They erred. They're only supreme.
Kennedy had a lot to do with that.
Yeah. He goes on, let thy fountain be blessed. This is out of Proverbs 5:18 and 19. And rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in a pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Do you notice how many times it said her there? Okay, so it's he and her. He and her is male and female, right?
Is it true, Pastor, the courts of mankind knew that marriage was only between a man and a woman for hundreds of years?
Right.
But you see, or was it thousands?
It's been thousands, over 6,000 years.
Until 2015.
Right. And so,
when Supreme Court Justice Kennedy,
when they tried to overrule God,
and the others,
right,
defied the Lord.
Absolutely. And they defied the Lord in 1962.
And put America under a curse.
Yep, they certainly did. In 1 Peter 3:7 says this, likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So, again, he's referring to a husband and a wife, a male and a female. In Ephesians 5:23, it reads, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Likewise, in 1 Peter 3:1-2, you wives, be subjection to your own husbands, that if they obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. In other words, he's telling the wives here to be a good witness to their husbands, the saved wives, to be a good witness to their husbands, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Proverbs 18:22 says, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtained favor of the Lord. But people today really don't care what God's Word, the Bible, has to say about marriage.
They should.
Or divorce. In Matthew 5, 31 and 32. You have Matthew 5, 31 and 32? Well, it reads, well, go ahead, Matthew, I'll let you turn over there. Matthew 5, 31 and 32.
And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee. I'm in the wrong chapter.
Yeah.
531.
Five.
Right? I'm in Mark. Excuse me.
Yeah. Well.
531. It has been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery.
Okay, so God has said that, right? God said whoever divorces their wife, save for the cause of adultery, you know, fornication. No. John, what do you know about no-fault divorce?
Well, it means no reason, Pastor Ernie. You just, get bored, grow tired. It could be financial issues. It could be a lot of things. And you go before the court, and certain states have no fault. And you just kind of write up the divorce, and that's it.
So what is that message that those states are sending to God?
Well, then the word of God regarding marriage means nothing to them.
Yeah. If you go over, turn to Romans 7 and read verses 1 through 3. Romans 7, verses 1 through 3.
Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress.
So what happens today with these, in this case here, when they're divorced? And these women remarry right away. They marry another man. So then both of them are doing what?
They're
committing adultery, huh? Now, that's what God has says, but people say, well, you know, we don't agree with that. So when you don't agree with something that God has said, who's in the wrong?
But God's always in the right, Pastor Ernie.
So at the end of the day, who is the final judge? Who gets the final word in this?
Of course, God does. The Lord does.
Amen. Anyhow, it's an amazing thing today where people just don't care what the Word of God says about so many things, and that's what
right,
we're
Pastor. Yeah, right. It becomes very convenient religion.
So I got a question, Pastor. This is Matthew chapter 5. That was in relation to the law of God about divorce and marriage. Say one of the spouses is they divorce them, and then they remarry, and then the other spouse that was divorced, they get married. Now, because it's illegitimate, are they still considered a fornicator according to the Word of God?
Yeah.
So they can't remarry anyone else?
Right, and as long as they're both alive. In other words, if the husband dies, then the wife is free, even their divorce.
So you got three legitimate reasons. One is death, adultery, or physical beating, correct?
Right. Now, we're under, now, again, here, when the Lord Jesus was speaking, he was speaking in the fifth dispensation period. But even so, you know, we're under the spirit of the law. Now, for an example, there's some, there would be in cases where, let's say a man was beating his wife, and he was, he was abusing her. She would not be expected to be having to stay married to him, okay? Especially if her life was threatened, right?
Right. Or adultery. Those are the only two scriptural.
Well, there's other cases today.
According to the law.
Let me give you an example. One day, I was at the doctor's, and when I came out of there, a downpour started, and I was trying to make it to my car, and I didn't have any umbrella, didn't even have a jacket on, it was summertime, and it was raining so hard, and the wind was blowing so hard, you know, it was like water was coming down in sheets, and just as I'm trying to make it to my car, this great big car, and I believe it was like an old Chrysler, a big one, full size, pulls right up in front of me, stops right there, and the lady rolls down the window, and she hands me the track that I just had left on the table. And I'd left, I always, whenever I would go in there, I would put tracks all over in the books and stuff. And she said, "You left this on the table." I said, "That's for you." And this woman was, she had two black eyes, and a pretty woman, but with two black eyes. And she was crying. She said, "Can we talk?" Now, normally, I don't, wouldn't get in the car with some woman I don't know, okay? But in this case, it was different, because I was going to drown if I stayed out there. So I jumped in the car with her, and she told me her story, that she wanted to attend church. She believes in God, and she wanted to attend church, but her husband refused to let her go to church, or he didn't want her to go to church, didn't want her listening to Christian programs, didn't, you know, read the Bible or whatever. And so she said, "I don't know what to do." She said, I know I'm supposed to be obedient to my husband, but I said, "I'll tell you what, let me come over and talk to your husband." She said, "Oh, no, you don't know, he could be violent." I said, "I'm used to violent guys, remember, you know. Being out there in the streets for all those years, we ran into a lot of violence." Well, anyhow, she said, I'll ask him. And so I didn't hear from her for a couple of weeks. And then one day I went in to have some film developed. They had these little things that used to, Kodak would be out in the parking lots. It used to be there, Jugo Plaza. And here she's in that booth, and she's got this big smile, and she saw me. She was so happy. And I said, "Hey," I said, "you're looking a lot better now." I said, "How's things working out? I didn't hear from you." Oh, she says, "Bless you, bless you, bless you." She said, "You fixed everything." I said, "I didn't do anything." She said, "Oh, yes, you did." She said, "When I asked my husband, when I told him that you wanted to come over and talk to him, he said, I don't want him coming over here." And he said, "You can go to church now." And this is his pastor. Not only did he let me go to church, but he's going to church with me. And I said, "Well, I'm so glad that that worked out." See, and that's what the nice thing about being popular.
That was the Lord. Yeah. Favor with the Lord.
That was absolutely the favor of the Lord. What do you think about all that, Big John?
I think that's wonderful, Pastor Ernie, and God delights, marriage, he created marriage for a reason, and that reason, one of the reasons, or the main reason, is there's love there. And so when that particular marriage that you were talking about, it was really tough. There was obviously maybe violence and all. But then when the Lord works and they reconcile and all, that delights God, Pastor Ernie. It really does.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, I'm heading, this will be my 57th year. 57th year. And you're pretty close to that, aren't you?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, this will be 52 years.
52 years, yeah. Well,
praise the Lord.
And we both married women.
Yeah. Also, praise the Lord. So I got one more question. Say that you got you got a married couple. One spouse just leaves, and then the other spouse doesn't hear from them ever again. And then the one who didn't leave gets remarried. Does that technically make them an adulterer?
I think you can find the answer to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You probably find verses 1 through 17, I believe. If I remember right, you might find the answer there. But we're going to move on tonight. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. But we're going to move on.
It's a yes, right? But that's the law, and then we're under grace. Not that it justifies divorce.
Right. Grace does not justify divorce. And a lot of it's got to do, too, with... if you read in Romans chapter...
And I'm talking about reality, of course.
In Romans chapter 14, where you know what's right and what's wrong, okay?
Not internet land madness.
Yeah. All right, some of the topics we're going to hit tonight. Trump is outsmarting most of the rogue, corrupt judges and their lawfare, okay? In fact, we had a big article on that. And where did that article go where... here, Trump is going to, by executive order, he is going to put a stop on all these judges that are doing all this lawfare against him until the Supreme Court, that court that calls themselves Supreme, rules on that. And what do you think about that, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's amazing how desperate they are against President Trump. And the Bible is very, I mean, not the Bible, the Constitution is very clear. We have three branches, the executive branch with the president, then the legislative branch with the House and the Senate, and then the judicial branch. And they're separate, but the judicial branch, Pastor Ernie, for many, many, many years now, has been encroaching mostly into the executive branch. And this is the big encroachment now where they're trying to shut down. They're trying to take over. The judicial branch is trying to take over the executive branch, Pastor.
I know that. Here's the article from the Gateway Pundit. Trump signs executive order cracking down on radical activist judges and the far-left groups abusing courts, demands to pay court costs to stop frivolous injunctions costing taxpayers millions. Today, he went to the DOJ. Trump gave a big speech at the DOJ today. Boy, and he really nailed them with the corruption. How, you know, of course, they went after him. He walked right into where it used to be enemy territory. And I hope Merrick Garland goes to jail for what he did, you know. And Mariakas, too, along with Chris Ray. But anyhow... Trump was saying how they went after Christians, they went after pro-lifers, they went after homeschoolers. They turned their back and let crooks. In fact, not only did they not go after the criminals, but they aided and abetted
them.
Yeah, yeah. So he goes on to say, President Donald Trump signed a groundbreaking executive order designed to clamp down on the growing abuse of American judicial system by radical activist judges and far-left organizations. The order specifically targets the reckless pursuit of frivolous injunctions which have repeatedly cost taxpayers millions and millions and disrupted Republican governance. President Donald Trump has been bombarded with a staggering 119 legal challenges in just 2 months since January 20. You know, they're still trying to use lawfare, and I hope he goes after these judges, you know, that have done all of these. Now, I know that they've dropped their charges and so on and so forth, but they still have committed high crimes. And he goes on to say, These cases driven by radical activist judges threatened to paralyze the administration before it could fully enact the mandate delivered by voters in 2024. So far, only two of these cases have been resolved. The memorandum addressed directly to the heads of the executive departments and agencies instructs them to firmly enforce Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 65C, which says that anyone who asks a court for an injunction, a temporary order stopping governmental action, must first deposit money or a bond with a court. Now, the money is intended to cover potential harm or cost to the government if the court later decides that the injunction was improperly issued. Trump argues that activist organizations have been abusing the courts, frequently filing weak or meritless lawsuits against the government to slow down or block policies they disagree with, often choosing sympathetic judges to hear their cases. These groups do not typically face consequences when their lawsuits fail. Instead, taxpayers pay the cost when government policies are halted by these injunctions. The memo tells federal agencies to make sure that whenever someone issues the government for an injunction, the agency should request the plaintiff, the person or organization suing, provides enough money up front to cover costs and damages that the government might suffer. The injunction turns out to be unjustified. Agencies must work with Attorney General to decide how much money to ask for, and they must clearly justify the amount to the court. The goal is to prevent the misuse of court systems by ensuring groups that think carefully before filing lawsuits and asking for injunctions, because they will have to financially cover the government's potential losses if they're wrong. So what do you think, John? Do you think that's going to affect the ACLU at all? Because, you know, they're trying to legalize pedophilia now, and they're always there on behalf of the bad guy.
Well, I think it depends upon how much, Pastor Ernie, I guess you call it a bond. It depends upon how large the bond is. I hope they're huge.
Yeah, I do too.
I hope the bond's immune.
Already.
I think it's good. It's good, Pastor Ernie.
All right, we're going to take a look at the Ukrainian hit list. Ukrainian hit list. So take it away, Chris.
Does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of Russian forces should they approach.
The good guys and our allies were the bad guys. That's the flip here that we need to continue to remind people. The Russians are the bad guys. They're raping women. They're killing children. They're bombing cities. The Ukrainians are the noble good guys. In some ways, they're more American than we are over the last couple of years.
The illegal organ market existed in Ukraine long before the outbreak of hostilities that were unleashed in the Donbass in 2014.
When people have no money, when they have nothing else, kidneys are becoming the only form of currency available to them.
As the war escalated, OSCE, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, representatives confirmed that military and civilian bodies had their organs removed as a huge number of people went missing. This dark criminal enterprise grew into a gold mine for the corrupt Ukrainian elite. While the global child trafficking hub in Ukraine grew from 1991 and has exponentially peaked today as orphan children are ensnared in the fortune of the greedy Ukrainian elite.
In Ukraine, this year alone, the National Police opened 217 criminal proceedings connected to modern-day slavery.
While Zelensky has imprisoned Ukrainian journalists and outlawed the Orthodox religion, Ukraine spokestranny and American Sarah Ashton Carrillo exposed the true madness behind the Ukrainian totalitarian state.
InfoWars is on the list, and Alex Jones. These are the people targeted. And right here, Jamie White and the statements he made exposing Soros, the CIA, USAID, and all of them. Who else is on the list? Elon Musk is on a Ukrainian government enemies violence hit list with the American that ran their information service, the fat man in a wig. Pull him up. I forget his name.
Simply put, I'm an American serving as a Ukrainian infantry soldier and combat medic who was brought from the zero line and assigned to the TDF's media team in the dual role of spokesperson and Russian disinformation analyst.
Russians have a different culture. Russians are Asian. And ultimately, they do come from the Mongols. They do come from a grouping of people who are wanting to be slaves.
Let me also take a moment in my role as spokesperson for the AFU's Territorial Defense Forces to state unequivocally that we in the TDF and across Ukraine believe journalists are heroes and have the right to report on Ukraine's war for liberation without interference.
I made the statement that Russian propagandists will be hunted down, and I refuse to apologize for that statement.
That happened in 23. He just posted that.
With the Kirilo Zelensky revelations, the New World Order wants all free speech eliminated.
I am on the list. So here's Jamie's report on being put on the list, and then they listed the articles he wrote about USAID, Soros, and the CIA funding illegal operations in Ukraine. InfoWars and Alex Jones named an enemies list compiled by Ukraine group linked to U.S. State Department. Here's Jamie's tweet about being put on the list. I'm on the Ukrainian enemies list due to my work at InfoWars and with Real Alex Jones on Ukraine proxy war. The group who compiled the list is tied to the U.S. State Department, USAID, CIA, and Soros. This is from June of 2024. InfoWars is on the list. And Alex Jones, Zero Hedge, Jackson Hinkle, Dan Bishop. These are the people targeted. And right here, Jamie White. And the statements he made exposing Soros, the CIA, USAID, and all of them.
Alrighty, we're back. And there you go. And of course, he was just murdered this week. Jamie White was just killed this week, and he was taken out. Now, something else is happening there, too, right now. Putin, has agreed to sit down with Trump and Zelensky and start ceasefire talks. But right now, Russia has thousands of Ukrainian soldiers surrounded, and Trump, remember, the Russians have lost 700,000 soldiers. 700,000, okay? And here, now, can you imagine that in that short time? In all the time we were fighting in Vietnam, we lost 58,000, John. In this short period of time, 700,000 Russians they've lost, and now Putin's army has got thousands of Ukrainian soldiers surrounded, and they're worried about they're going to just totally annihilate them. And Trump is asking Putin not to kill them. Okay, what do you think about all that, John?
Tactics are like World War One and World War Two. I mean, they just, in their mind, they're willing to accept enormous casualties, Bethany. Enormous. So it hasn't changed. They received enormous casualties in World War One, incredible casualties in World War Two, and this is a very short war, relatively speaking, right now, and if you probably add up everyone that's been really severely injured and killed, they're probably pushing close to 1 million already, Pastor, in the casualties, the Russians.
Yeah, could be. And I know that the people in Russia are getting awful, awful tired of this war. And but what happens, they can't do anything because they don't have any guns. To Trump's appeal for...
They're at the mercy of the government.
Okay, we just had two things just come in here. After Trump's appeal for thousands of Ukrainian troops surrounded in collapsing Kursk pocket, Russia's Putin guarantees the lives and dignity of those who surrender. Okay, so Putin is asking, is saying, okay, I'll tell you what, if they surrender, then we won't kill them. So right now what's happening, too, just happened about 30 minutes ago. Go ahead and tell them what happened there.
The ISIS leader of Iraq was killed.
Trump's people, they hunted down the ISIS leader in Iraq. Our soldiers did, and they got him.
Praise the Lord.
And so, but anyhow, they've been after him.
Peace through strength.
And remember who it was that started ISIS. It was Barack Hussein Obama that started ISIS. He was the one that funded them.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, not with, if you think, with Obama.
If you consider everything, it's not that
Pastor
surprising.
Ernie, when we look at this, you know, with Biden and Obama, and then we look out at Putin and the others, who's the good guys and who's the bad guys, Pastor Ernie?
Well, I don't think, you know, in this situation, I don't think you have any good guys. And
right, exactly.
Only the innocent, the good guys are the innocent soldiers that were drafted, forced to go into the military, forced to get out there and fight these wars for that they were never meant to win. And so those are the good guys, the ones that...
Right, but as far as the leaders and the politicians, I mean, until Trump has come on the scene, there's no good guy. You can't distinguish the good guys from the bad guys.
Right. And here now, in that department of the DOJ, there wasn't any good guys.
No, absolutely not.
All right, the Democrats are fighting amongst themselves today because Chuckie Schumer was put in a bad spot, okay? Here's what his problem was. He's been going all week long saying he was going to shut the government down. So then the Republicans are saying, good, that's what... You know, that way we can, that many more people, we don't have to lay off, okay, right now. And so they were saying, you're playing right into Trump's hands. They're telling Chuckie, you're playing right into Trump's hands. And then, but the Democratic Congress, the Democrats in Congress are all saying, we're going to shut the government down. Nancy Pelosi said, we're going to shut the government down. And but then Chuckie Schumer, by the way, Trump says Chuckie's no longer a Jew, anyhow. So
yeah, so they said he was a Palestinian because Schumer is siding with the Palestinians against Israel.
Yeah, he was with those fake Jews, all of those fake Jews that went to Trump Tower to support the Palestinians. These, you know, they're all wearing these saints saying that they're Jews, but they've found out only just a very few of them are actually Jews, okay? Let me read this. Demonstrators from a so-called Jewish group filled the lobby of Trump Tower on Thursday to denounce the immigration arrest of Columbia University activists who helped lead student protest on the Manhattan campus against Israel's war in Gaza. Now, here are a couple of things. Let me go back first before we finish this. Chuckie was put between a rock and a hard spot, okay? And because he was going to get the blame if, and there was several Democratic senators that said, you know, no, don't, we're going to vote for it. We're going to vote to pass it. We're not going to shut the government down. We're not going to be blamed. So he was between a rock and a hard spot. So he went ahead and told the senators, let's go ahead. So nine Democrats who had planned on voting for it anyhow voted for it, okay? So now Nancy Pelosi comes out, and AOC, and that's Alexandria Cortez or whatever, she's come out and she said because of that she may run against Chuckie for his seat. Well, from what I understand, Chucky was about ready to retire anyhow, okay?
What age is he?
He's up in his 70s. And so, anyhow, so he was about ready to retire anyhow. I wish Nasty Pelosi would retire. But anyhow, she said, dump him now. We gotta dump. So the Democrats are fighting amongst themselves.
Sounds like the Lord's answering my prayers.
Yeah, well,
I've been praying some of course, first and foremost, that they get saved and repent and confess their sins.
Well, the Democrats have been in lockstep. You know, one thing Nasty Pelosi did is she held them in tight rein. She put the fear of Nasty on, you know. If they got out of step, she would send Jessica Waters over to their place and she'd jump out and scream at them. And that's a scary thing, having her jumping out.
You mean Maxine?
Or Maxine Waters, yeah. That she'd jump out and she screamed and that old wig could fly off and hit you in the face. You never know what could happen. But anyhow.
Well, Pastor Ernie, she's actually talking about civil war. She's saying that Trump is creating a civil war when he's just doing his job as president and it's her. So they are drumming up civil war now.
In his first term, remember, she said, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take you out, Trump. I'm going to take him out. Remember, I hear her say that. She should have been, that's a threat, right? And so.
Absolutely.
So she was saying, no matter where you find conservatives, where you find Republicans, go in and scream and yell at them and try to intimidate them. And that's what they did with Huckabee Sanders, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. They went into a restaurant and caused such a problem that the restaurant owner threw the Sarah Huckabee and her family out. So she actually threatened. She said, I heard her say she was going to take Trump out. Anyhow, what's going on here now?
They do got to stop this inappropriate rhetoric. You can't threaten violence.
Well, they have threatened. This is why, you know, Pam Bondi, she was surrounded. I remember watching that on the news. They surrounded her, and they threatened her. They were screaming and yelling right up in her face. And they actually chased the senator from Kentucky, Rand Paul. They actually chased him and his wife down in the streets there. Now, this summer is going to be a very, very interesting summer, folks, because they're saying that if you're driving a Tesla, you're in danger. You're in danger. They've been setting Teslas on fire. By the way, did you see that dingbat woman from PMSNBC where she said that where it came to they threw those Molotov cocktails and set Teslas on fire, but she said that they were nonviolent Molotov cocktails. John, have you ever seen a nonviolent Molotov cocktail?
Well, no, Pastor Ernie. They're made to explode and kill.
Yeah.
And burn.
Well, the good news is they found someone who did that, and I think Pam Bondi's pursuing up to 20 years for that person.
Well, these people that went into here, the Jewish Voice for Peace protesters who wore red shirts, the Jews say stop arming Israel and carried banners, okay? These are apostate Jews, okay? The ones that are actually Jews. These are the apostate Jews. Remember, who's always been the worst enemies of Israel, John? It's always been the apostate Jews from within.
Well, you know. Yes, they were the pagans. Remember back in the days of Solomon and then heading towards Hezekiah and all that, had the pagans. They they were Jews, but yet they were following the pagan gods, not the Lord.
Well, see how quickly, when God took them out of Egypt, how quickly they turned on Moses. And remember Korah and his group? But, you know, if you take a look at who were the people that backed Hitler, and actually, during World War II, who financed Hitler. And a lot, these were the Rockefellers, and also you had Hitler's George Soros is a good example of that. But today, you know, we have here today, Chucky Schumer. Chucky Schumer, in fact, Trump says Chucky's no longer a Jew, he's a Palestinian now. But you got this Jamie Raskin, and you got George Soros, and you got Hillary Clinton. All of these, and the Bible refers to them as the seed, but not the sons of Abraham. These are, Jesus referred to them as the synagogue of Satan, okay? And all of these leftists, and in fact, in Israel, you have a large number of anti-Israel, anti-Jews there. And so, but these here that are out there protesting, they want to, you know, this is anti-Semitism, whether you call yourself a Jew or not, or whether you're apostate or not, it's still anti-Semitism, isn't it?
Well, Pastor Ernie, you said something that I'm not aware of about Rockefeller being Jewish.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. They changed the names. What were they when they came here? I'm having one of my senior moments. The biggest Jewish family there in Europe, John. You know who I'm talking about. It's not the Mellons.
Colin?
No, you know who I'm talking about. The wealthiest people in the whole world, John.
Oh.
The wealthiest family.
Well, the
Rothschilds.
Rothschilds. Rockefellers came from the Rothschilds. When they came here, they changed their names. The Rockefellers.
I know about the Rockefellers and the way John Rockefeller and his father, and there's no link at all to Jews that I am aware of. This is all new to me.
Oh, yeah, I had read some stuff many years ago when they were doing the research in the families, and they said that they were, okay. Anyhow, they said that, go ahead, Aaron, what do you have there?
No, I mean, when you transition.
Okay, so, anyhow, I'll have to go back and read it, but I'm really sure that they're the same family. They're related. They came from...
So the Rockefellers are from the lineage of...
The Rothschilds.
Rothschilds.
Yeah.
That's something I'm sure I would have picked up, Pastor Ernie, and I'm not aware of that at all. From my perspective.
All righty. Well, I know that I read that, and I know that we actually talked about that on air years ago, many years ago. And when there was the Rockefellers actually started the feminist movement here. They were the one, I sat and watched, David Rockefeller did a film on why they were starting the feminist movement here in America. And so, and that was out there too. You probably didn't hear about that either, did you?
No, you got me. I'm engrossed here over and looking at Rockefeller's background, Pastor Ernie. So,
yeah.
No.
Well, you don't. You're going to only find out what you want when it comes to the Rockefellers and the Rothschild. Just like, okay, they say that Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. Do you really believe that Elon Musk is the richest man in the world? Let me ask you this, okay? When the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers said the idea is to own nothing and to control everything. In other words, that means to have nothing in your name, but to have complete control. And also, I remember hearing back in those days where they said when it came to even World War II, they were talking about as far as the war goes, fund both sides of the war, okay? And that's what they were doing, even with World War II. And so it was all about, that's how you control the money.
John, are you using Grok?
No.
Have you heard of Grok?
No.
It's a good AI tool. If you search Pastor Sanders, he gives them a solid write-up, but that would be a good... Grok.com. It's Elon Musk's AI tool, alternative to like ChatGPT that's woke.
Yeah, I was amazed when you found that they did that. They did a thing here on me. Can you find that on
it's
there?
It's grok.com.
Okay. Can you find that on that Grok there?
For some reason, it doesn't work on my phone.
Okay. Anyhow. Yeah, they gave us a really good... a really good write-up, didn't he?
He gave you a solid, legitimate, objective...
Christian patriot,
description. Yeah. Grok, GROK.com.
That other one out there said that we were like a folk...
You're a folk legend.
Yeah.
They mentioned Ruby Ridge and...
Yeah, they did. They mentioned all that because I can't believe they... How they have all that information, because those all came off radio programs that we did. But some of those radio programs were years and years and years ago. That's amazing how you could do that. But
John D. Rockefeller attended Cleveland Central High School.
Hmm. 1 minute left.
All righty. We're going to be coming up to a break, and then when we come back from that break, we're going to take a look at the fake alien invasion with Dr. Stephen Greer. And then we'll let McTernan comment on it, because he probably knows more about the fake alien invasion that's coming up and heading our way. And they're going to, this is a for real thing that they've been planning on doing for a while. In fact, somebody actually made a movie of that years ago where they used that to scare the people.
15 seconds.
And that works for countries that have been disarmed a lot better than it works for people like us. But we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more, so don't go away. Coming right back. Be right back.